Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody with opening.
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how did it work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Monday, the 24th of February. That means it's 242 Day, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We're going to celebrate 242 Day this and every 24th of February. That's the 24th day of the 22nd month. Remember to show your Bahamian pride, fly your Bahamian flags, wear Bahamas flag colors, eat Bahamian foods. Celebrate and listen to Bahamian music all day. Taxi drivers, put it on one Bahamian station. We playing this Bahamian music for our tourists. I mean, we love our brothers and sisters in the rest of the Caribbean, right? But the people come here for us, so let's give them us. Donate in sequences of 242, do something 242 times, or 2.42 times. Merchants, consider pricing items at $2.42 or $24.20 or $242. Let's have fun. And merchants, you could extend that for the rest of the week. We saw some merchants already having wonderful, wonderful, wonderful specials. Here's a headline about 242 Day. Headline, we have to remind people all the time to buy Bahamian. This is from Our News, the 21st of February. I think that was Friday broadcast. It's a video report, but there's a small caption. The Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture, in collaboration with the Ministry of Education, kicked off 242 Day celebrations early, hosting a vibrant marketplace featuring Bahamian-made products at their headquarters. Now, one of my favorite competitors in the local vending market was there. I don't know why y'all didn't invite Seasonal Sunshine Bahamas. Proprietors of the world-famous Rum Fingers, perfect for church, prayer meeting, and parliament. If they genuflect in the space, you safe to put it to your face. Have a sip, wet your lip, then lock it and put it back in your pocket. I don't know why y'all didn't have us there, but y'all had the goat there, which means you had very, very special products. And to my friend, the goat challenge. Next time I see you with your new pepper product, I can have my pepper passion fruit infused tamarind balls for you to try. Challenge. And that's what we're supposed to be doing in this local, agri-based, local vending space. We're supposed to be challenging each other to come up with the best products possible. So I say to the goat once again, challenge. Producer, We're in studio? Good stuff. I have guests joining me for the first half of this morning's show. Guests from the Sagicourt Cave Hill School of Business and Management at the University of West Indies. Joining me this morning is Ms. Collymore. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I am good, thank you. Welcome to the Bahamas on 242 Day.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. What is the area code in Barbados?
246.
Ah, we so close. We is cousins.
So close.
I love it. I love it. 246 and 242 sharing a moment on our special day. So today you are joining us to talk about the value of executive education as we explore more of the offerings from the Sagicourt Cave Hill School of Business and Management at the University of the West Indies. Take the floor.
Great. So for all of you who may not be familiar with the Sagicourt Cave Hill School of Business and Management, we are the business school arm of the University of the West Indies here at Cave Hill Campus in Barbados. And our goal, our purpose really is to help develop a community ecosystem of future conscious Caribbean leaders who lead sustainable businesses, who build sustainable businesses for all of our stakeholders. And here at the School of Business, we offer a wide range of programs, degree-bearing programs, professional development programs, and then our executive suite of programs as well. And that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Awesome, awesome. So what exactly is executive education and who is it for?
Yes, so our executive education programs are specifically designed for professionals, experienced professionals. So your senior level executive, so that would be persons like managing directors, chief executive officers, your C-suite level leaders at the forefront of the organization. So persons who are looking to retool, who are looking to enhance their leadership skills and, you know, expand their knowledge, drive change within the organization. And, you know, it really is targeted at those leaders within the organization who want to change the trajectory of the organization and help to make it more sustainable in the long run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Looking at the big picture, why would you say executive education is critical to shaping future-ready leadership?
Yes. So with the constant shifts in the global business landscape, you know, there are many different things happening around the world and leaders have to be on top of their game. So what our executive education programs help to do is help leaders to have that competitive edge, to help you to develop yourselves as leaders, whether that's self-leadership, whether that's leading teams, you know, driving change. And with our specific programs, we have programs ranging from strategy, project management, executive leadership programs, change management, change leadership, data analytics, you name it. And we are offering programs in that area. So these programs will help you to retool and reskill and advance your skills within the organization to give you that competitive edge and to allow you to, you know, meet the challenges that you're facing as the leaders at the forefront of your organization.
Absolutely. Can you tell us some of the types of programs, again, offered between the degree-bearing programs and the professional certifications?
Yes. So with our degree-bearing programs, we have a number of them. They range from human resource management. We have data analytics, business analytics. We have project management. We have a wide range of MBA programs, also master's degrees, and then our executive education programs and professional development programs. We have programs in risk management. We have programs in cybersecurity management. We have programs for bank and credit and risk management. And then we have our executive leadership programs, which specifically target four core pillars. So we look at leadership, we look at strategy, sustainability and innovation, as well as change. And one of our upcoming executive leadership programs is our Women in Leadership. And that is in March. That one is in Miami as well. So our programs are not only virtual, but we also have in-person programs around the world. We've had programs in London already. We have some in Miami. We have some here in Barbados. So our modalities suit everyone. So if you're not able to meet, if you're not able to attend a program in person, you can also join us for our virtual programs as well. And we also have executive leadership programs virtual. That one is our leadership for executives. So if you, you know, leaders have a lot of responsibilities, and if you can't devote enough time to attend in person, you can join us for that virtual program as well.
Absolutely. So, I mean, right now, this looks fabulously full of skills training opportunities. Yes. Like, with this type of having your staff participate in these educational opportunities, you are not just fine-tuning your business, but you're fine-tuning the vehicle that drives your business as well, continually.
Correct. And it really is a return on your investment as an organization. One of your biggest assets within your company is your people. You know, those are your people. So what our programs help to do is to develop your talent. So not just maximizing on profit, but also building the kind of talent, the kind of future conscious leaders that we want in the Caribbean to help build sustainable businesses and for longevity as well. So what our programs do is to allow persons to develop as, you know, employees and build their skills so that the organization prospers as well as the person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you mentioned individuals and organizations. Can you elaborate on how the executive education programs differ from an academic degree?
Sure. So the executive education programs offer a lot more flexibility. So we know with, you know, the degree bearing programs or the academic programs, those tend to be about 2 years. With our executive education programs, they can range from 2 days to 2 weeks. You know, we have programs that are four-day programs, five-day programs. So it's much shorter in time. The duration of the programs are much shorter. There's much more emphasis on practical experience. So we do a lot of simulations and group-based challenges where persons are able to bring the challenges that they may be experiencing within the organization to the programs. And then you work on them as groups to give you that very practical, that practical experience. So you're able to go back to your organization knowing how to address these challenges and getting feedback as well from like-minded peers. The networking as well is also a big part of our executive education programs. You're able to network with persons from across the Caribbean, basically every country within the Caribbean, and you're able to get feedback from your peers. And that networking experience is second to none.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who is the target audience for these executive education programs?
So that would be your aspiring leaders. That would be your C-suite level leaders within your organization. So your CEOs, your general managers, your senior managers, your directors, the persons that really drive change and lead the organization and build these strategies as well for the organization. So the top level leaders within the company, that would be the target.
All right. I got a text that popped in quickly, and I like how they framed the question. So I want to pop it in here. The text is basically saying that we see declining numbers for male participation in universities, or at least in the Bahamas in particular, where there's a significant difference in the percentage of women attending university than the percentage of men. Do you have any professional or executive education programs, so different from academic degrees, that center or focus on men in leadership and men in business?
Well, our programs really are targeted at both men and women, so we don't necessarily signal out one person over the other. We cater to both. both males and females. So all of our programs are targeted towards both as well. So we have programs ranging from risk management, banking and finance. We have programs in business analytics using artificial intelligence. We have programs like negotiations and persuasion. We have programs in, customer experience transformation. So, you know, the offering is very diverse. And in terms of who we target both males and females for our programs.
Absolutely. Can you elaborate on the specific skills and knowledge participants will gain?
Yes. So in terms of our executive leadership programs, one of the major skills persons will be able to walk away with is knowing how to lead with authenticity. So knowing how to bring what you are, who you are as a person, to your leadership style, and how to make that and maximize that for the best results in terms of you leading your team well. You know, you're leading high performing teams. That's another skill you'll be able to gain as well. Learning how to lead high performing teams, how to build high performing teams so that you win as an organization and not just as an individual. Persons will also be able to learn how to devise more effective strategies that are sustainable in the long run of the organization, strategies that help or lend to the longevity of the organizations as well. Persons will be able to learn how to devise change management plans and execute change management plans as well within your organizations, how to get persons on board with your vision and execute that vision and change within the organization. And if I can mention as well, one of our programs we have is the crisis communication and management program. Persons specifically learn how to develop a crisis communication plan to help anticipate, you know, crises and prepare for crises before they occur. So being very proactive rather than being reactive. So those are some of the skills that persons would be able to acquire when they participate in our executive education programs.
Oh, absolutely. That is fantastic. Before we go on, I'd like to ask you to again explain to the audience what executive education is, how it differs from your degree-bearing programs, and when do the courses start, right? Like, are your courses on the typical university schedule? You know, we have to start at the beginning of the traditional semester, end at the end of the traditional semester. How many times a year can I sign on to a course? Things like that.
Yes. So our programs do not run in tandem with the typical university schedule. We have programs running all year round. So they start from January and they can end in November. So it's not the typical schedule. And for our executive education programs, it's specifically targeting professionals, you know, who have experience. So persons may have already done degrees, but they want to be able to continue that personal leadership development. Our programs help you to do that. You know, you're never too old or you never know too much, you know, that you can't learn something else or you can't improve on your skills. What our executive education programs do is help you to develop your leadership skills to make you a better leader, you know, to transform your leadership style, to make you more effective within the organization. And it's targeted at, you know, your experienced leaders who are at the forefront of the organization, who want to become better leaders, who want to become more future conscious leaders within the Caribbean, within your region. Yeah, that's what our executive education programs do.
Absolutely. That is fantastic and a benefit to any business and any business owner, any professional and any field that they're working in. Now, contact information. How are our listeners going to contact you to get more information?
Yes. So we have a great team here at the Sagicor Cave Hill School of Business and Management. You can contact us at 246-424-7731, or you can reach out to us via WhatsApp at 246 233-9733. Or if you want to reach out to us via email, you can do so using exec. So that's execchsbm@cavehill.uwi.edu or www.cavehill.uwi.edu/schsbm.
Absolutely. So apparently I opened the show and said that February was the 22nd month of the year. That's because January has 18 weeks in it, right? And I can't wait for my next payday, which is why my eyes popped open when I saw in my notes that you are offering a February special offer.
Yes, yes. So for the month of February, we're offering our Fall in Love with Executive Education. And with this special, we on select programs, you can get up to 20% off if you register by the end of the month. So for all of you who are looking to, you know, make an investment, you know, your development is your best investment. You can, you know, take this opportunity and register, and you could get up to 20% off of our select programs. And you can reach out to us to learn more about this this offering.
Absolutely. So what I'm going to do, right, is if I'm an employee in a company, I'm excited mm-hmm. about the potential to grow my own personal skills bank and my professional skills bank, right, for the purpose of the company, I'm going to get my employer, I'm going to call a meeting and say, boss, look at this, right? Here's the contact information. Call Cave Hill School of Business and Management and talk to them about how we, employee and employer, can fit these programs into our yearly schedule and begin skills building in all the employees, and then creating a succession plan for the company. Because outside of the skills building for personal and professional development, I see business owners taking this as an opportunity to understand how they can grow their employees and their business at the same time.
Correct. And then we have specifically four organizations, you know, our PEAK program, that's purpose, excellence, agility, and knowledge. And what the PEAK program does is that it offers a cost-effective solution, you know, for organizations to meet their goals in the most efficient way. So you will get the most out of your corporate training experience. So you can reach out to us and you can register your employees for a number of our programs. And depending on what your organizational needs are, we would, you know, ensure that you get the training that you need across those various areas. And you just have to give us a call and we can make it happen for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you very much, Ms. Colleen Moore. Is there anything else you'd like to add to what you've shared with us this morning on the value of executive education and the executive education programs available at the Sagicor Cave Hill School of Business and Management at the University of the West Indies?
Yes. So all I would say is your development is your best investment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And most of all, I like that it is accessible to the professional, short courses, longer courses, virtual courses. You can catch a flight to Miami and do the course there if you can afford it, or, you know, if it's accessible to you. This is a wonderful, wonderful academic, educational, and professional development space.
Yes.
Let's repeat the contact information one more time before we sign off.
Sure. It's 246-424-7731, or our WhatsApp number, it's 246-233-9733. Or if you want to send us an email, you can do so at exec, so that's exec, chsbm@cavehill.uwi.edu.
Absolutely. Now, just before you go, from where you sit, what is the most interesting or exciting course in the executive education program list to
well,
you?
That's a hard one because there are many that are very exciting. I would say it really would be our executive leadership programs. All of them, the suite of our programs, you know, they're exciting programs. But our executive leadership programs are definitely top tier because it focuses on key pillars, that being leadership, strategy, change, sustainability, and innovation. So you capture everything all at once.
Absolutely.
Very comprehensive. Yeah.
Sitting in the Bahamas in this hurricane zone, the crisis communication management course it seems very exciting because I can think of so many different sectors who could benefit from this training, including me as an individual in the media space.
Yes, definitely. And then there are aspects of the program as well that deal specifically with public relations. So, you know, how to handle, you know, public relations during crisis. So that program is definitely an exciting one. And you learn how to develop that crisis communication plan to be more proactive rather than reactive, learning how to anticipate risks.
Mm-hmm.
So that program is definitely needed, and it's really targeted to all industries. All industries need to know how to effectively manage risks. So that program is a definite yes.
Listen, when I finish with the Bahamas, you're going to name the Crisis Communication Management Certification the Bahamian degree, because everybody in the Bahamas, every government agency and ministry should understand how their communications should shift and how their structural work shifts when there is a crisis. This is exciting stuff. Thank you so much, Ms. Collymore, for an exciting discussion. And I look forward to continuing this discussion about the academic and professional development opportunities available at the Saggy Core Cave Hill School of Business and Management at the University of the West Indies.
Yes. So thank you so much for having us as well.
Absolutely. And just as we sign off again, you can contact them at 246-424-7731. WhatsApp 246-233-9733. Have a wonderful 242 day. There we go. Producer, let's go to a break. When we get back from the break, we got headlines to delve into. Here's one. PM signed a $200 million framework agreement with AfriXM Bank at CARICOM last week in Barbados. And some more headlines. Mitchell defends government rehires. PM defers answers for question time. Government to make formal appointments next week for committee to select ombudsman. 60 received $10,000 grant in first phase of Home Sweet Home program. A new initiative brings free Wi-Fi to 150 buses and taxis in New Providence. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We're going to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler's Square for an epic celebration of the 2024 Boxing Day and 2025 New Year's Junkin' of Winners. Saxon Superstars. Enjoy music by Playhouse DJs, Lil Giant, DJ Tank, and performing live, Van Sean and D-Mac. Let's celebrate the four straight Junkin' of Winners, Saxon Superstars. Victory Fest 2025, Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler's Square. Hosted by Rika C. Gates open at 8 p.m. Let's celebrate Junkin' of Culture and the Saxon Superstars. Collect reminds you to drink responsibly, Blake.
Make your next move count with the Sagicor Cavill School of Business and Management. At the SCHSBM, our executive education and professional development programs equip you with the strategies and practical skills to stay ahead of the competition. Learn from world-class facilitators, connect with industry leaders, and prepare to achieve sustainable success. Visit us at cavill.uwi.edu/SCHSBM or contact us via WhatsApp at 246-233-9733 to find the right programs for you. The Sagicor Cavill School of Business and Management, where leaders convene.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
KB and Sting, coming with the Mahimi Ting. Come on! Woo!
Hairy, bone, and bread. I don't want it nowhere else, even when I'm dead. Eyes are Bohemian, and I always late. If you want me there by 9, better tell me come 8. See, eyes are Bohemian, and I don't like say. Nobody gonna spend my money when I go to my grave. Yes, eyes are Bohemian, don't wanna make no fuss. But if you we know, but outside tell you, you will wanna us.
And welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green and KB. Because I's a Bahamian, you's a Bahamian, we's a Bahamian, and Juju. Because that's Bahamian too. In fact, Juju, you can find Juju across the Caribbean, and you could find Juju, I think, even in parts of South America, Central America. But we share that culture. We share that culture with our Caribbean and American cousins. You know what else we sharing? Kalik. Y'all better share Kalik with me on March 1st. Kalik the Bear of the Bahamas invites you to Victory Fest 2025. Join us Saturday, March 1st at Smuggler's Square for an epic celebration of the 2024 Boxing Day and 2025 New Year's Day Junkanoo winners, the Saxons Superstars. The Junkanoo season may be over, but the celebration is just getting started. Enjoy music by Playhouse DJs, Little Giant and DJ Tank, and performing live, Fanshawn and D-Mac. Let's celebrate the 4 straight Junkanoo winners, Saxons Superstars. All right, so I wanted to follow that interview up with this headline. PM signed a $200 million framework agreement with Afri-Exim Bank at CARICOM last week because that signing took place in Barbados. But I think I want to follow that discussion about the executive education programs at Cave Hill, that's Barbados, School of Business and Management, University of the West Indies, with this headline, right? Mitchell defends government rehires. The reason why I want to slide into this story is because a lot of what the school offers prepares organizations for succession planning. You grow your staff so they are able to grow your company or grow with your company as you direct it into the future. So let's read this article. Mitchell defends government rehires. Minister of Foreign Affairs Fred Mitchell yesterday hit out at what he termed, quote, propaganda, close quotes, regarding the Davis administration rehiring nearly 500 public service retirees as he defended the policy. He said the argument from the Free National Movement that the government is not supportive of younger people having a chance to advance in the public sector is not true. Mitchell, who is also chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, said statistics show the Bahamas is a country that is growing older with fewer young people available to join the workforce. That needs to be interrogated. Quote, people ought to remember what the statistics are now saying, close quotes, he said in a voice note. So let's stick a pin there. First thing, he said it in a voice note. He said it in a voice note, which means it's likely he was speaking as the chairman of the PLP and not the minister responsible for foreign affairs and the public service. I await to hear him say it in the House of Assembly. Because if he said it in a voice note, is it policy or is it politics? Voice note suggests to me it's politics. I want to hear it emanate as policy, from a policy space, from the minister responsible for the public service, not the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party. Here's the next thing I want to touch on. People ought to remember what the statistics are now saying. How am I oughtn't to remember it, sir? Where are the statistics? Where are they published? How do I get to them? See, here's the thing. A number of issues over the last couple of days have revealed something that I talk about all the time. Y'all either don't know what public notice is, or you are intentionally not alerting and advising the public to opportunities, to events, to meetings, to conferences. You must make public these notices, these statistics, this information, the same way y'all campaign at election time. The same way y'all put up 17,000 flyers on one street so we'll know who the PLP are. Advertise government business in the same fashion, please, and thank you. No, none of us oughtn't to remember what the statistics say, because we don't know. We didn't know what the statistics said in the first place. We never actually got any statistics. What we got was sound bites from politicians in voice notes talking politics, as opposed to statistics properly declared as policy. Producer, let's go to the phone line quickly before I continue reading the story. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How are you?
Yeah, Alan Johnson.
Yes, sir.
You know, we live in a data desert, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the mere fact is that, you know, I've been saying this for over a decade now. And now you have people like the chargé d'affaires of the embassy, and you have the various different reports, even today's statement concerning education. And all of that is in the data desert where we are. But the data desert is not for lack of water, because there are some oases in this desert. The problem is that we're going around in a circumference, around in a circle around it, and not heading to the center that is necessary. And people hear me say it all the time. I got it memorized: digitalization, datamation, datafication, and digital transformation. It's funny, though, that we could have as high as 30% unemployment among youth, but we don't have enough youth to be employed.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
You know, right, and I don't understand that. And so, and I say all the time is that it's an indictment from an international standpoint at the level of incompetency that is being portrayed exists in our civil service of 25,000 plus, not counting our state-owned enterprises. That you, what is the most? You have a dozen ministries, so you could put easily 5,000 people in each, or 2,500 people in each. And so you're saying in this whole hierarchy of people, this doesn't count the unclassified, you know, those 52-week program, those temporary program, and all these other different classifications we give them. And so you're saying that in this whole hierarchy that you have to bring back somebody, because they, when they left, they didn't feel that the people behind them had the competence that they should have transferred into them for the 20, 30, 40 years that they were there. And so it seems to me this is more like gaslighting than this is about simply telling us exactly where we are.
Yes,
because,
sir.
You know, I believe that instantaneously, and I think this data desert exists semi on purpose and some in ignorance. And the reason I say that is that the walls, like the Prime Minister speaks of, the financial walls, the so-called oligarchs, the invisible forces, you know,
yes, sir,
that exist, they don't exist anymore in the 21st century. And so it seems to me that some people for the last 24 years has been determined that we will never leave 2001 when the 21st century began.
Thank you.
Because these tools actually exist.
Yeah. Thank you very much. You call to mind... And it caused me to ask this, are y'all making Ryan Pinder like the fall guy? because he's not elected, he's appointed, like, y'all gonna make him say all the hard things that y'all don't really want to say, like how y'all made Ryan Pinder say that, oh, y'all know y'all want freedom of information. Y'all know how difficult it's going to be to digitize all this information. Oh, y'all want marital rape. Y'all know how difficult it's going to be to win an election if you criminalize marital rape. Why y'all doing that to Pinder? Why are you doing that to Pinder? I wanted to find, I saw it this morning in a WhatsApp group, and I saw it before. There is an article on, I guess, the declining standards or the failures of education in the Caribbean, because it leads me to ask this question. Are we finally realizing the dangers, the negative consequences of social promotion in our schools? Is that what the problem is? Like C. Allen said, that they find that the people below them are unable to learn or to be taught, right, how to take over a role. Is social promotion the issue? Are we graduating people who should not graduate yet? But let's continue reading from the article. Quote, people ought to remember what the statistics are now saying, close quotes, he said in a voice note. Quote, the population of our country is growing older. There's a shortage of young labor, and so much of what is happening is dictated by these facts, by these demographic facts. Listen, whenever you hear somebody say demographic facts, just don't worry about it. That don't mean nothing. That's called fluff. Here's a bit more from the article. He said the Progressive Liberal Party has a, quote, stellar record, close quotes, of hiring youths, adding that thousands, quote, that's in quotations, thousands of young people were hired by the Davis administration in areas of law enforcement or provided employment through organized job fairs. I can read that again. Okay? He said the Progressive Liberal Party has a, quote, stellar record, close quotes, of hiring youths, adding that, quote, thousands, close quotes, of young people were hired by the Davis administration in areas of law enforcement, that's uniformed forces, right, or provided employment through government-organized job fairs. Stick a pin. Fred Mitchell, chairman of the PLP party. Would Fred Mitchell, minister responsible for public service, take credit for jobs in the private sector that young people were able to acquire by participating in a job fair? Are you saying that those are jobs you're going to claim? Because would the minister responsible for public services say that? Or is this just something that the chairman of the PLP party could say in a voice note? Is it politics or is it policy?
And Aaron, I'm listening to you and trying to analyze what you are saying. There are two different conversations happening here. One conversation is youth employment. And the second conversation is whether retirees are being brought in and disenfranchising youth or younger people. That's two different conversations happening at the same time. I see the Minister of Labor, Ms. Pia Glover, was responding to the critique that she had to bring back retirees to secure a job because there's a labor shortage. And I think as the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, that's what Fred Mitchell was answering. Then have that juxtaposed with the criticism of the FNM and by the leader of the FNM, who said that this is disenfranchising young Bahamians. And I believe that he attempted to explain the PLP's record, saying that they hired more young people.
So let's talk about it right there. Stick pin right there. Young people, youths, and law enforcement. I became aware recently, producer, you could prep the call. I became aware recently that when you enter the police force, you could enter at one of two levels, right? What's the lower level for what you call, not for officers, which is a lower level, like for constable, entry level into the police force.
That's constable to entry level.
Right. And then,
or you come in as the cadet in school and then transfer into formally into the police force.
Right. Now, can you come in at a higher level? Like somebody was telling me, if you have a degree, you come in at a higher level, right?
But you still have to go through
the testing, and right? What's the criteria, like the grade 5BJC, 3B, 3BGCSE?
The entire civil service, it starts with BJCs. So you can have 5BJCs and you can join the civil service force. At different levels, whatever level it is for that starting role. And then, like for national insurance, we need to have a degree. So certain positions, you come in, like for inspector, you'll have to have a bachelor's degree to start that. So there are different levels you can come in. Then there's a difference between like a custom guard and a custom officer, right? A defense force officer and a defense force guard. And the BJCs and the degree BGCSEs distinguish that.
Okay. All right, let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? I'm sorry, we lost you. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning to your guests as well. I try to think about it. Did they say that they bring in these people back because they have grandchildren and
all we gonna get
stuff they have to pick?
I will read from that part of the article as
Please
well.
Do.
Okay. Absolutely. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
We're going to continue reading from the article. Quote, thousands of young people have been put on the payroll as a result of the Progressive Liberal Party being in office, close quotes, he said. Quote, so don't come with this stuff that we are anti-youth and all the rest of it. That is absolute nonsense, close quotes. I could even challenge that, Mr. Mitchell. Just because you've hired thousands of young people doesn't mean that you're pro-youth. Not necessarily. It's far more nuanced than that. Mitchell said in the 1980s and 1990s, a, quote, swath, close quotes, was cut through the country's demographics due to the epidemics of HIV/AIDS and crack cocaine. Quote, many grandparents had to raise their grandchildren, close quotes, he said. Quote, they had to remortgage their houses and pay school fees, and when they came up to retirement, they were still owing bills. So the public policy decision had to be to make sure these parents could raise their grandchildren. I finished reading. If the FNM is against that, they need to say that, but don't come with this stuff. The facts are that the PLP has hired thousands of young people and caused many people to survive by supporting their grandparents in their times of trouble. That's the truth, not the propaganda, close quotes. Mr. Nuri, you was going to say something?
I said I smiled at reading that. That was my comment radio.
I smile too. Good. I don't know why Mr. Mitchell would pit generations of Bahamians against each other. You're telling me with all of the resources that the state has available to it, the only way that you could figure out how to support these grandparents was by rehiring them into the government service after they retired? Weren't they living with those same situations when they were working? You didn't have no program then while they were actually working to assist? What about the grandparents that don't have a good government job? That were never able to get that good government job so they too could help their grandchildren in the same way. Now, see, before y'all go any further, some of y'all may be saying, Aaron, you could be talking about yourself. You could be talking about yourself and your mama. Mm-hmm. I like to declare these things from the break. Put them on the table. Right? My mommy ain't taking care of any of my grandchildren. All my Chikchanis were well-raised, and they in the bush waking hard. They don't pay NIB, but they waking. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Morning, sir.
And good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Blessings.
Hey, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
And Nuri. Look here, which one of the statements that came from the PLP is propaganda, according to what you just read? Fred said, what he's saying is the truth.
That's a Freudian right. slip. You mean which one of the statements
from the PLP? The one what came from the PL Global, right?
Yeah.
Is her statement or his statement is propaganda? Because it's two different statements to justify the hiring of these 500 persons. and Pierre, role, I think, is right.
Yes, Rule.
Yes, Glover.
Pierre role, right? And her contribution to the inside the House Assembly, she never mentioned about no grandparents or the for we. This is what this is the reason why we are doing this for the grandparents, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now, Fred Mitchell, the same party, sits in the same cabinet. He is saying that his statement is true, and everything else is propaganda. So I'm just trying to figure out if the minister's statement is including
I know what
part
you're saying.
Of the propaganda that is being spreaded, right?
I got you. Now, Mr. Mitchell is claiming that what the FNMs are saying is propaganda, but I understand what you are saying,
correct.
Sir. Let's
because
just remember
you
this.
Have two different statements from one cabinet office, but none of them really matching up.
That's
with
why,
each other.
Caller, that's why the minister responsible for the public service didn't say nothing. Remember, that's why I reiterated this like 85 times in the article. The PLP chairman said it in a voice note.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
And the chairman does not sit in the cabinet.
I agree with you all, right?
Yeah.
Again. But now, as for the layman, right, I understand what you all saying, and you all are correct. But what type of message the party is sending, despite if he is whatever, right, but he is being allowed to speak, obviously, on behalf of the PLP, because for any issue occur, ever since 2021, Fred Mitchell was the voice and the final voice of the PLP. Before the Prime Minister or even the Deputy Prime Minister speak on any matters, Fred Mitchell speaks on them. So that's why he is known out here on the road as Deputy Prime Minister Fred Mitchell.
Allow me, Aaron, if I may.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you very much, caller. And mind you, there are a number of people who made this critique, the separation of the Minister of Minister of Foreign Affairs and Public
Service,
the
chairman of the
party,
and the MP for Fox Hill.
And it becomes confusing. But the voice notes and some Facebook comments, these are coming from the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, which is not an official government policy.
Oh, look here, callers.
Right?
We out of time.
Are we out of time, ready?
It's 11:04.
I'm
so sorry, callers. I don't have any time left. Maybe in Mr. Newry's hour.
Because I wanted to explain the difference between my member of parliament for Fox Hill and then the Minister of Foreign Affairs and then the
chairman of the
party.
And
three different people.
If you will allow me, there's another point I want to make about
man.
This statement. Look,
because I need to hash that out.
Yes,
and
sir.
The callers can call back, because I see we had three callers on the line, too.
Listen, don't forget, Collect the Bay of the Bahamas invites you to Victory Fest 2025. It's 242 day. So stay tuned to some Bahamian dialogue all day, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Stay tuned.
And I don't like say. Nobody gonna spend my money when I go to my grave.
Make your next move count with the Sagicor Cavill School of Business and Management. At the SCHSBM, our executive education and professional development programs equip you with the strategies and practical skills to stay ahead of the competition. Learn from world-class facilitators, connect with industry leaders, and prepare to achieve sustainable success. Visit us at cavill.uwi.edu/SCHSBM or contact us via WhatsApp at 246-233-9733 to find the right programs for you. The Sagicor Cavill School of Business and Management, where leaders convene.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.